with you on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJAD 800. And when you've heard us talking about television on this show in the past, you've often heard me say that my favorite television show of all time was the medical drama Sent Elsewhere. And joining us on the program right now is Dr. Elliot Axelrod, better known as Stephen First. He is also the author of a new book called Confessions of a Couch Potato, or If I'm So Skinny, Why Do I Still Feel Like Flounder? Hello, Stephen. How are you?
Hey, how are you? I guess you teased everybody. You said staying elsewhere. They thought you had Denzel Washington.
How are you, sir? It's good to have you on the program.
Oh, thank you so much.
And as I said, and I said on this show many a time, that is my favorite television show of all time.
Oh, cool. Thank you so much. It's my favorite job I've ever done, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, you were not in the beginning. You joined after, the first year?
Yeah, I came in on the second year.
Yeah. You have a book, as I mentioned, it's called Confessions of a Couch Potato, or If I'm So Skinny, Why Do I Still Feel Like Flounder? And, of course, Flounder is the character you played in the 1978 movie Animal House.
Right.
Which so many people know you for, of course. And you were heavy. You lost, 140 pounds?
Yeah, I was 320 pounds at my highest weight, and I currently weigh about 180. And I've been a diabetic since I was 17. I was diagnosed at 17 years old as being a diabetic, and that was the same exact year that my dad died of diabetes at the age of 47. And you think that would have been enough to, scare me, but it didn't. I waited till I was 40 years old to, have something happen to me and made me lose the weight.
Now, what happened that made you lose the weight?
Well, I cut my foot. It was exactly this time of year, Christmas time, and I cut my foot, and being a diabetic, it got infected. I got put in the hospital. They were talking about amputating my left foot, and they put me on a diabetic diet, and I was starving to death because it was a very strict diet, and I hated it. So I was desperate. I asked the nurse for some Yellow Pages, and I called for Chinese food to be delivered to my room while I was in the hospital. And I said to the guy, whatever you do, don't go to the nurse's station. Come right to my room because, I didn't want to be, caught. But English not being his primary language, he went to the nurse's station. And the nurse came into my room holding up the bag of Chinese food. Now, I got to tell you, this nurse looked like Lou Cabrazzi from The Godfather. She holds up the Chinese food. She says, Mr. First, is this your food? And, of course, I denied it. I was fearful of her. And about 10 minutes later, the custodian came in, removed the phone out of my room. And then about 30 minutes later, she came in to take my vital signs, and I smelled my Chinese food on her breath. She had eaten the Chinese food that I tried to smuggle in. And so I lost 12 pounds in the hospital, and I came out, and I said, God, I want to try for 15. I feel good. And then I said, I'm going to go for 20. And it just kind of snowballed. And I knew that I was never going to stay on a diet, any kind of traditional diet. So I made up my own diet, one that I could live with. And I lost all this weight, and that's what the book's about. I want to share the diet with people. And also, it's all these funny stories about growing up fat, being fat in show business, and how, people looked at me and discriminated against me. And it's just funny things that happened, during my life. So it's not a diet book. It's not a recipe book. And it's not a funny book. It's all of the above.
And it does have some recipes in it, as you say. Now,
yes.
You said you created this diet on your own. Was there a trial and error period? Did you have a time where you tried things that didn't work and you had to regroup, so to speak?
Well, there are some recipes that I tried that didn't work because my diet is I tried to duplicate things that I really liked, like cheesecake, movie theater popcorn, Thanksgiving dinner with all the trimmings, And some things worked and some things didn't, so this is all the stuff that worked.
Now, you said you discovered or you were aware of the fact that you were a diabetic at the age of 17.
Right.
Well, was the diabetes, in effect, one of the reasons for your weight, or were the two not related? Were you just somebody who liked to eat?
Well, no, the reason why I was fat was not because of diabetes. The reason why I got diabetes was because I was fat.
Okay.
Anybody who has it in their family and is overweight is very, very likely to get it. And it's a hereditary disease, and if you're sedentary like I was, I didn't move. I just went from the kitchen table to sit down in front of the TV, still snacking.
And having lost your dad at such a young age, mm-hmm. and being overweight, the two, I mean, this is something I'm sure you were aware of at that time, were you not?
Oh, I was aware, but it just, you know, food was my best friend. It never let me down. It was something that I needed, you know, and still do to this day, actually.
We're talking with Stephen First here on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJAD 800. His book is called Confessions of a Couch Potato. How did you get into acting? Because here you are, you mentioned a few moments ago that you were obviously, like a lot of kids, teased because of your weight. Sometimes that's a situation where people don't want to draw attention to themselves, and here you are in a profession which draws attention to you.
Well, you know, it was kind of cool because I didn't like who I was as this fat kid, but when I was acting, I was playing somebody else, and that person was fat, and, you know, I couldn't help it if that person was fat, and, you know, I was always, you know, under the impression that being fat helped my career, which it may have, but, you know, and I used the excuse of, well, I can't lose weight because it'll ruin my career. I won't be able to get any movie roles anymore. I used that for many, many years to keep the weight on, but it just simply wasn't true. Now, you know, age plays a part in it and the weight loss, but I, you know, am directing now, and I made the transition while I was losing weight to being a director. So it really doesn't matter what I look like when I'm directing.
Now, you were on Babylon 5.
That's when I lost my weight.
That was when you lost the weight. So people could actually see the transition if they watched that show long enough.
Right, and then you know, science fiction fans are very into the Internet, and so there's all these rumors about me being very ill on the Internet. Oh, you know, he looks like he's lost a lot of weight. He must have cancer and stuff like that. So I had to dispel those kind of rumors, too.
Well, was that ever a concern with, because not only just the Internet, when anybody loses a large amount of weight, that's unfortunately the first thing a lot of people think of. Was that a concern from the people who might be hiring?
No, I, Hollywood's really not that big of a community, and just people knew that I had gone on a diet and lost weight. The insiders in Hollywood knew this.
How about controlling your diabetes today? How much easier is it, or is it, since you've lost the weight?
It's so much easier. When I was 320 pounds and totally out of control, I was taking 3 shots of insulin a day in my stomach, and now I've been reduced to taking 1 pill a day. I don't take insulin anymore.
Right.
So it certainly helps anyone who's a type 2 diabetic to lose even, you know, 20% of their weight that they need to lose. And I lost 100% of the weight I needed to lose. So
we should mention that your book is put out by the American Diabetes Association, so it's very important for anybody who's concerned about diabetes as well.
Or just their weight in general.
Yeah.
And you can get it in any bookstore. I'm not quite sure what bookstores you have in Montreal,
mm-hmm.
but like Borders or Barnes and Noble. I don't know if you have
I believe it's in Chapters, which is up here.
Chapters, right.
And Indigo.
Right. I you know, it's funny. I became a landed immigrant of Canada through Toronto.
Right.
And so I've been to Toronto quite a bit, and I do know Chapters and Indigo. So I assume the book is available there, or they can go to Amazon.com and get the book. But they'll really enjoy it. It's going to make them laugh, and, you know, people who are overweight are going to go, oh, I remember doing that, or, you know, I've had the same situation, you know.
What do you do in situations when, do you ever feel that, you've lost a lot of weight, and there's always the concern that somebody might put it back on. Are there good days and bad days? Do you sometimes let yourself go and still go to the couch with the potatoes, or... Is that all behind you now?
You know, it's not that I'm perfect, you know, I don't like totally pig out, but there are days like Thanksgiving where I eat a little bit too much and stuff, but, you know, it's become so second nature to me. I changed my lifestyle. I didn't just go on a diet, I had to change my lifestyle. And I don't even think twice about what I eat now.
Now, when you were creating this diet, this idea, did you discuss it with doctors? Did you discuss it with nutritionists? Or did you just go on your own and do this?
You know, I met with a nutritionist one time in the hospital, but everything the nutritionist was telling me was basically common sense. You know, low fat, you know, low carbs, you know, low sugar, that kind of thing.
Hmm.
And the thing that I wanted to do was... You know, eat. The key to my success is I never let myself get hungry. Because if I got hungry, that's when I would cheat. So that's basically what my diet's about, is being able to eat tons and tons of food and constantly being full, but, you know, eating the right kinds of food.
We're talking with actor Stephen Furst. His book is called Confessions of a Couch Potato here on Montreal's News Talk Leader CJAD 800. You mentioned you're directing. What are you directing these days? And I know you're doing some voice work. What else are you doing?
Yeah, well, I did Buzz Lightyear and The Star Command and Little Mermaid. And I just finished an acting role in a Stephen King movie called Autopsy Room 4.
Uh-huh.
And I'm about to direct a film next year called The Jester, kind of a real scary thriller movie.
Now, how long have you been directing?
I've been directing for about 5 years.
As I'm sure you're well aware, you're one of your confreres you mentioned earlier just directed his first film, Denzel.
Yes. Yeah.
Just directed Antoine Fisher. Did he get any insights from you?
Last time Denzel and I kind of shoot the breeze, you know, was quite a few years ago. I have not seen the picture, but I hear it's excellent, and I'm looking forward to it.
Going back to that television show, which I mentioned earlier, of course, St. Elsewhere, which was so much fun. You joined that show while it was already on after the first year. How did you get the role of Dr. Elliot Axelrod?
Well, it's funny because my agent called me and said there's a role on St. Elsewhere, and she says it's only 5 lines. And I said, well, you know what, I'm not working right now, I'll do it. She goes, no, they want you to audition. I said, they want me to audition for 5 lines? She said, yeah, but it's St. Elsewhere, it's a prestigious show. So I swallowed my pride and I auditioned for the 5 lines. I got the 5 lines, and they just kept asking me back, and then on the third time they asked me back, they came down and asked me if I wanted to sign a 5-year contract, and of course I jumped at the chance because, my gosh, it was wonderful. It was Bruce Paltrow, who actually just passed away.
Right.
Gwyneth Paltrow's dad.
I was going to ask you about Bruce Paltrow, as a matter of fact.
And Gwyneth did a couple of episodes of St. Elsewhere, too.
Mm-hmm. When you got that role, because before that, it was what, 4 years before that, or maybe 5 years before that, Flounder on Animal House?
Yeah, I did Animal House, and then I did a couple of other films that weren't, you know, for Disney, that weren't quite as popular. So I was working, but, it was great to get on a regular series, you know.
The role of a doctor was so far from Flounder.
Yeah, he was kind of similar to Flounder, though. He's kind of like he's not sure of himself and you know, bumbling and everything. But they got to let me, you know, I did a lot of comedy, but I got to do some serious stuff, too, which I really, really adored.
Well, that's one of the things is my favorite show I enjoyed the most was that you could literally laugh and cry in the same episode.
Oh, absolutely.
And sometimes maybe even in the same scene. And part of that, of course, I think was the writing.
Well, the writing was so excellent. I mean, we won so many Emmys for the writing, you know, and the acting, too. But it was just one of those rare things, and I hope in my lifetime I get to do, you know, something like that again.
What would be your dream role?
My dream role would be to be on a prestigious series like that again as an actor, you know, and that would be it. My dream thing would be to be offered scripts to direct. You know, right now it's like I have to scratch and hunt and do everything I can to get directing jobs, you know, because it's such a fierce competitive business. I would love to be at a point where they'd say, Steve, do you want to direct A, B, or C? Which one? You know, and I could just choose.
When you went on to do, what was it, Babylon 5, that's a whole different world. Well, literally, it's a world where you're on a show that has a cult following. Sci-fi fans are, unlike fans in other shows, they're really rabid. Was that a different situation for you as an actor when you come in contact with fans from that show as opposed to other work you've done?
It was a totally different experience. Like you said, sci-fi fans are a breed of their own, and I started to do some of the sci-fi conventions, and the people are just wonderfully, genuinely loving you, but they get they act like they know you better than they do, and they want to talk to you for hours, and they love, you know, details about the episodes and everything. They knew more about the episodes than I did. And I had people come up and do, like, impersonations, and they'd say, guess who I'm doing? I go, I don't know. Who are you doing? They said, I'm doing you. You know, and I had to sit there, you know, with a smile on my face, you know. And they come dressed up as you and, you know, do, like I said, do impersonations and stuff. But, you know, they just love it. You know, there's all these kind of like nerdy people, and it's such a safe haven for them because nobody's going to make fun of them. Whereas in the outside world, if somebody dressed in a Star Trek outfit and kind of acting nerdy, somebody might make fun of them.
Now,
like in high school, this was a safe haven. They could all act really bizarre and, you know, everything, and nobody's going to make fun of them.
When you get recognized, which do you get recognized for the most? I mean, you've had three very prestigious roles, from Animal House to St. Elsewhere to Babylon 5. What do you get recognized for the most?
Well, you know, now I'm not recognized at all because of the weight loss. When people do talk to me, it's usually about one of those three or another film I did called The Dream Team.
Right.
You know, with Michael Keaton, which I actually shot in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
You know. I've never been to Montreal, though. I've always wanted to go to Montreal.
Well, you're always welcome.
Yeah, I'm sure it's a wonderful city.
Now, I look in the back of your book.
Yes.
And I see something called D4G.
Right. That's a video that I did for American Diabetes. And it's basically guys don't take care of themselves as well as women do.
Right.
And I wanted to make, once again, a funny video where somebody would watch it and laugh. And it's educational, but you don't even know it. So it's basically my life story as told through famous movies like James Bond movies, Austin Powers, Jaws, Psycho. So it's a parody. It's almost like a one-hour Saturday Night Live sketch. All these different movies, takeoffs on the movies.
Now, I see Stuart Pankin is also involved.
Yeah, Stuart Pankin plays me. Before I lost weight. And I play myself as after the losing weight. Yeah, Stuart was a wonderful character in it. He played all these different characters.
Now, besides the fact that it's published by American Diabetes Association, how are they involved with this book in any way?
Well, they're just the publisher. It's distributed by McGraw-Hill. And they just, you know, I did, you know, they asked me to write a book a while ago, and I said, well, I'm not a writer. I said, I'm a filmmaker, so why don't we make a movie? So we did the D4G tape. After that, they called me back, and they said, you know, now that you did the tape and it's doing very well, they said, let's write the book now. And so I gave in, and I wrote the book, and I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed writing it.
Is there anything that, food-wise, that you absolutely miss?
Let's see, you know, what do I miss? I do love, and I allow myself to have some of it now, I like nuts a lot.
Uh-huh.
You know, they're very high in fat. But, you know, peanuts, peanut butter, and I haven't really come up with a substance. Now, I do eat soy nuts, which is a lot less fat, and they're healthier. But I do, you know, I would miss a great peanut butter and jelly sandwich right now, you know?
Hey, you mentioned in your overweight days you were a couch potato. You were very sedentary. What role, if any, does exercise play in your changed lifestyle?
You know, it's a really important thing. And being 320 pounds, I hated to exercise. And I started off, just like the diet, I started off very, very slow. The first thing I did, believe it or not, I took the batteries out of the remote control. Forced me off the couch, changed the channels. I live in a two-story house. I stopped asking my kids to go upstairs and get me my shoes or get me my keys or whatever I needed. I would do it. And then I started walking the dog. And instead of just letting him out in the backyard, I would walk the dog. And it started then. And then I, you know, got physical enough to go to the gym. And then it started from there. It started very slow. I lost about, I guess, a pound and a half to 2 pounds a week. You know, people come up to me all the time and they say, oh, God, I got 100 pounds to lose. It's going to take so long. And I tell them, you know, it's going to take you a year, but next year is going to come anyway, whether you lose weight or not. Next Christmas of 2003 is going to come anyway, whether you lose weight or not. So if you lose 2 pounds a week, that's 100 pounds
right.
By next Christmas.
Now, you mentioned your kids. What about your kids? Diabetes is hereditary, and sometimes being obese can be something trained and hereditary. What about your children? Are you concerned about them, or how are they doing?
Yeah, always concerned about them. I have older children, and one is a little bit overweight, and the other one is not overweight, and neither one has diabetes. So, you know, I'm very thankful for that. And, you know, you can't really tell someone to eat healthy. You can, but it's it's going to go in one ear and out the other. Somebody has to do it for themselves. It's just like being an alcoholic. You know, you can't tell somebody to stop drinking unless they're ready to stop drinking. It's called hitting bottom.
When you see, especially going through as an actor, going through your career as an overweight actor, and sometimes the role calls for that, when you see actors today, some of them very young, who are also very overweight, does it give you pause to think?
Well, no, not really. I mean, there's going to be overweight people in this world. I mean, 60% of us are carrying too much weight. No, it doesn't. I was just sitting at the table with my family, and there's a book that they're making into a movie, and the lead is somebody who's supposed to be overweight. And I was thinking, I wonder who they're going to get. Who's big enough of a star to carry a movie that's overweight? And we had a hard time because it was originally written, this book was originally written for John Candy, and he's no longer with us. So, you know, we came up with Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Uh-huh.
He isn't anywhere near as heavy as John Candy was, but, you know, he would do a great job in this role.
The book is called Confessions of a Couch Potato, or If I'm So Skinny, Why Do I Feel Like Flounder? It's written by Stephen First. It's published by American Diabetes Association. And you say it's also published by whom?
It's distributed by McGraw-Hill.
Distributed by McGraw-Hill. Stephen, I thank you very, very much for being on the program with us. Continued success, and we hope to see you. I'm looking forward to seeing some of the things you get to direct, but we hope to see you in front of the screen as well, in front of the camera as well as behind it.
Thank you so much, and you guys have a happy, wonderful holiday.